This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abaim to the Kollel Igra de Perka. Welcome, everyone. Baruch Haba. We have a very special shiur today, brand new material on a subject which will catapult us into Sefer Shemois. Thank you, everyone, for joining. I want to remind everyone you could catch the shiurim on TorahAnytime.com, on podcast, on Shas Illuminated, on the OU site. If you go to our new website, RabbiDG.com, all the Svarim, the Hebrew Svarim, are on sale until January 15th. You could also always use that site to get onto any Zoom shiur. You could go straight to RabbiDG.com and get right onto the shiur. We're going to begin with a very interesting question. This is a question on Parshas Vayechi, and this will catapult us, Be'ezus Hashem, into Sefer Shemais. This question is raised by none other than the Divrei Chaim himself. The Divrei Chaim, in his Sefer on Chumash, after he goes through all the Parshios, he has something called Chidushim al Hasedros, novel ideas on the various Parshios. And in Parshas Vayechi we read how Yaakov Avinu basically took away the birthright from his firstborn Reuven. He took away the Bechoyar from Reuven, and he gave it to Yosef. And that seems to be an explicit violation of a pasuk in Parshas Kiseitse, Lo Yuchal Levaker. Lo Yuchal Levaker. You're not allowed to switch the Bechor. You can't say, I like this kid better, I'm going to make him the firstborn. You're not allowed to do that. That's exactly what Yaakov did. How was he allowed to do that? That is the question of the Divrei Chaim. If you look in your sheets, let me get that up. Let me pull up the Mara Mekoymos over here. Pull up the Mara Mekoymos. They came out very good today. B'siyata D'shmaya. Here we have. Okay. Where the Divrei Chaim says, Rabim Hikshu, many ask, Hey Chayu Rasha Yaakov Vino and Vashem Likach Abachame Ruvain, Haksiv La Yuchal Avaker. Now, Vihine be Pnei Yehoshua Zal Tirets to Hoyoderch Matana. He gave it as a gift. He didn't make someone else the Bechor, but instead he gave it as a present. Says the Divrei Chaim, Dvar of Temuim. These comments are a wonder. Dimken hoyu hashnei chalakim shel Yosef b'taras matana. Then it comes out that Yosef's two portions in Eretz Yisrael were a gift. V'shar Eretz Yisrael nishar l'shar Yoshe Yaakov. And the rest of Israel. In other words, a father cannot make a different child the Bechor, but if he wants, he could give a nice big gift before he dies, so that the Yerusha will then be from whatever remains after the gift. Well, says the Divrei Chaim, in that case, Yosef got his portion, and then the rest of the Shvatim should then inherit the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So then Reuven should still get two portions and whatever remains, like a Bechor, because Yaakov cannot remove Reuven from his Bechara, and that is not true. Reuven only got one portion in Eretz Yisrael. So, says the Divrei Chaim, the answer of the Pnei Yeshua is not sufficient. It is not sufficient to say that Yosef got his portion as a matana, because Reuven should then still get two shares in Eretz Yisrael. So the beginning of Parshas Vayechi begins with a very unique expression, Vayikrevu Yemei Yisrael Lamos. And the days of Israel approached to die. It doesn't say Yisrael died. They came close to dying. And Rashi points out that there is another instance where this expression appears, and that is by David HaMelech. Kol mi shenemar boi kreva lamos. If I could ask Rav Pinchas, without... Thank you. Vayikavu Yimei Yisrael Lamas, Kol Mi Shenemar by Krev Lamas, whenever it says approaching to for death, Lo Higia Limei Avoisav, he has not reached the days of his forefathers. Meaning, whenever it says somebody came close to dying, that means his fathers lived longer than he did. Yitzchak lived 180 years, Yaakov lived 147. So the expression, he came close to dying, means that he did not reach the age of his forefathers. So Yitzchak lived 180, Yaakov only lived 147. David, it says, he approached dying. His father lived 400 years and he only lived 70. So we see off the bat that there is a comparison between Yaakov Avinu and David. Neither of them quite made it to the lifetime of their fathers. However, the Baal HaTurim points out that only twice in the Masorah do we have the expression Vayikrevu Yimei. One here and the other one by David. Vayikrevu Yimei David Lamas. So we find in the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David, you made 147 mizmoirim, like the life of Yaakov Avinu. You made 147 mizmoirim, like the life of Yaakov Avinu, and you were therefore zoicha like him. In other words, what the Baal HaTurim is saying, an amazing thing, that how many chapters are there in Tehillim? We usually understand there are 150 chapters, but there is a way to calculate that in fact there are 147 chapters. If you make Ashrei Ha'ish and Lama Ragshu, you make that one, you make possibly other chapters in Tehillim, you combine them. So there are 147 chapters of a Tehillim in Kaminyan, the years of the life of Yaakov Avinu. So David was Zoicha. Hashem says to David, you made 147 like the life of David, of Yaakov, you will be Zoicha to Vayikruvu, you may David Lamas. That what? What was David Zoicha to that Yaakov had? Mahu ubenoi molchu biyachad, af ato yimlech shloimoi banecha bechayecha. Just like you and your son ruled together, just like Yaakov and Yosef, they were both rulers together, they both reigned together. So to you, David, Shlomo will become king in your lifetime. Now this is a very interesting teaching. Just like Yaakov and Yosef both were melachim together, so too, David and Shlomo were both kings together. Now, Yosef, we know, was a king. But was Yaakov a king? Where do we ever find that Yaakov was a king? The Baal HaTurim seems to be mechadesh to us that Yaakov, in fact, was a melech. And just as he and Yosef both ruled simultaneously, so too David was Zoicha, who made 147 chapters of Tehillim, like the life of Yaakov, to rule together with his son. By the way, the Baal HaTurim adds, just like Yaakov, like Rashi says, just like Yaakov did not reach the age of his forefathers, so too David did not reach the age of Shaul. By the way, this idea that David HaMelech said the number of Tehillim of the years of Yaakov Avinu, we find in the writings of Moshe of Pshvarsk. He says, Yaakov Hoya Roya Es Tzoin, Es is Rashi Tevois, Omar Tehillim. He said Tehillim. And another comparison between Yaakov and David is Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis and David HaMelech, David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayam. David, King of Israel, lives and endures. Okay, so we're being introduced to an idea that Yaakov Avinu was a Melech, he was a king. Now, we find earlier in Bereishis, Avraham Avinu was a king. And this is a subject that's very interesting to me. I would like to work on something on the Malchus Beis David. I mentioned this. But we find, if you look at number 18 over here, Emek HaMelech, it says that in the war of the four kings and the five kings, they went to a place, Emek HaMelech, Beis Reisa de Malka. Rashi brings the Medrash Agadah. Emek, it was a valley, Shehushvu Sham Kala Umais, all the nations of the world gathered together, Vihimlichu as Avraham Aleihem, and they proclaimed Abraham as their king, Lenasi Aleihem Ulakatsin. Avraham Avinu was designated as the king of the world. So we find Avraham Avinu had Malchus. And here the Baal HaTurim is saying that just like Yaakov was Zoicha to reign at the same time as his son Yosef, David was Zoicha to reign at the same time as his son Shlomo. They both reigned simultaneously. But what is the source? What is the real makar of this concept, of this teaching, that Yaakov Avinu was a melech? So this comes from the Bereishis Rabbah. By the way, we could point out that this idea that Yaakov said, that David said 147 chapters of Tehillim, like the life of Yaakov Avinu, comes from Masechta Sofrim. Okay, if you look in the Medrash, when Yehuda tells Yosef, Ki kamoicha kefaroi, you are like Pharaoh, says the Bereishis Rabbah. Ma paroi goizer v'enu mekayim, just like Pharaoh decrees and doesn't fulfill, af ata goizer v'enu mekayim, you too decree and don't fulfill. Ma paroi lod achar zacharim af ata kein, just like paroi is lewd in that he runs after relations with male, you also do that. Ma paroi melech v'ata sheni loy beretz Mitzrayim, just like Pharaoh is the king and you are second to him in the land of Egypt, kach abo melech v'eretz Kanaan ani sheni loy, so too is my dad the king of Canaan and I am second in command. V'im sholef ani ischarbi, and if I unleash my sword, mimcha ani mascha v'ar rabcha ani masayim, first I'll knock you off and then I'll knock off your master Pharaoh. So Marv Rabbeisai, here we have it explicitly, that Yehuda is telling Yosef, and I believe this is also enunciated in the Targum Yushalmi, in the beginning of Parshas Vayigash, that Yehuda says to Yosef, you think you're a king, my father is a king, and I'm second to him, and I will knock you off and Paro. So here we encounter an idea that Yaakov Avinu was a melech, and Yehuda was second in command. I believe we see this idea in the Ramban in last week's Parsha as well. We spent two shiurim last week, both Wednesday and Monday, speaking about a Wednesday night, and we spoke about this on Friday as well, that on the Pasuk, Lo Yasur Shevet Mi Yehuda, the Ramban says, V'hakosav Hazer Remez, this Pasuk is a allusion, Ki Yaakov Himlich Shevet Yehuda Alechav. Yaakov was mamlech. He appointed as a king Shevet Yehuda and his brothers, Vahoyrish li Yehuda, and he bequeathed to Yehuda hamemshala al Yisrael, dominion over Israel, v'hu masha amar David. This is what King David said, Vayivchar Hashem aleke Yisrael, be God, the God of Israel, selected me, mikol beis avi, from all the household of my father, Liyos lemelech al Yisrael, to be a king over Israel la'olam, ki b'Yehuda b'achar, because he selected Yehuda, lenogid, as a prince, u'bebeis Yehuda, and the house of Judah, beis avi, my father's house, u'bevni, u'beavi, ki ratza lehamlech al kol Yisrael. So the Ramban uses a language that Yaakov was mamlech, he appointed as the king. Rev Simcha Zisal Broida explains, who was Mamlech? Ze Koyal Yaakov Avinu. He selected, in other words, this Pasuk, Vayivcha Hashem L'kezum Mikol, be, God selected me, ki b'Yehuda Bachar, because he selected Yehuda, Yaakov selected Yehuda. Yaakov selected Yehuda, and Hashem selected Beis David. Says Reb Simcha Zisal, Medvar of Elu Mashma, from these words, it's Mashma, Shali Yaakov Avinu Haisa Harashus. Yaakov had the permission, Vahabailus, and the ownership. He owned Malchus to be Mamlech and to be Moirish, dominion and Malchus to whoever he wanted. Meaning, if Yaakov was Mamlech Yehuda, that means Yaakov owned Malchus. Uvi Yoiser Mashma, this is even more Mashma, Mimasha Kosov, Ki Yaakov Himlech. Shevet Yehuda, Sheyakovinu, Mina Bapoyalus, Yudalnach. Yaakov actively appointed Yehuda as a king, Shevet Yehuda, Malchus, Umemshallah. And God selected David. Yaakov selected Yehuda, and God selected David. Now, I want to elaborate on a point that we mentioned. Parshas Vayigash, we discussed the sort of the battle of the monarchs of Yehuda, who the Medrash says was the second in command to, Yehuda was second in command to Yaakov, and Yosef was second in command to Paroi. Now we know one of the things that Yaakov Avinu did was he sent Yehuda to Yosef to establish a yeshiva. And Reb Leib Bakst asks, why would he send Yehuda? This is quoted in the Sefer Chavetz HaSharon. L'chayra, the Gemara tells us in Yuma that the Paiskim of Klal Yisrael were from Yisachar or Levi. So Yaakov should have sent Yisachar or Levi. And the Chavetz HaSharon quotes Reb Leib Bakst. He says that even though Yisachar or Levi are worthy to be Rashi Yeshiva, but they're not necessarily worthy to establish a yeshiva, because to establish a makom of Torah, you need malchus. To establish a strength and the eminence and the power of a yeshiva that should be able to stand up to the winds of the times and the tides of the times, you need the koyach of a melech. By the way, I believe we spoke out in the Shirin Vayigash from the Imrei Emes, then so why couldn't Yaakov Avinu send Yosef? So the Imrei Emes says, well, because Yosef did not have full malchus. He was second in command to Paroi, as opposed to Yehuda. Perhaps at this point in time, Yaakov appointed Yehuda as the melech. But I would add, the reason why Yaakov Avinu didn't send Yosef is because Yosef was not a real melech. Yosef is the Mida of Yisoid. He just consolidates the people and unifies the people, but Yehuda is the real melech. But in any event, the Chavetz HaSharon says that this would explain an interesting tradition that we have, that when Reb Chaim Volozhiner opened up the yeshiva in Volozhin, the Gra benched him that he should be Zoicha to continue the chain of Torah in his children and his grandchildren until the coming of Mashiach. Why exactly did the Gra give this bracha specifically at the installation, inauguration of the yeshiva? So the Chavetz HaSharon points out something very interesting. Historically, there have been many great Rosh Yeshivas in our history. From the times of the Rishonim, and then continuing into the times of the Achronim, two of the greatest all-time Rosh Yeshiva were Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, who even by the account of his detractors taught more than 20,000 students in his lifetime, and the Chassam Sofer. But there is a very big difference between the yeshivas of before Reb Chaim Volozhiner and after Reb Chaim Volozhiner. You see, before Reb Chaim Volozhiner, people learned from a Rebbe. The Rebbe happened to be in a yeshiva. When the Rebbe was nifter, the Beis Medrash was batel, and they went to learn elsewhere. Or if the Rebbe went elsewhere, they followed the Rebbe. The yeshiva was not the makom kavua, they learned from a Rav. Reb Chaim Volozhiner was mechadesh something new. He was mechadesh, there's something called a makom Torah, that makom never ceases. And if the Rav dies, someone else stays in that makom. So the place is not created because the students learn from a specific Rebbe. There is an inherent distinction in the place, in the makom. And to establish a makom, you need the koach of malchus. And that is why Reb Chaim Volozhiner was given the bracha that he should be able to continue this dynasty, this royal dynasty, for many generations. That's why the Gra said that you should be zoicha to many generations of Torah. Because, in general, Torah is not a Yerusha. Torah does not get passed down from one generation to the next. A father could be a Talmud Chacham, the child may not be a Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says that often the children of Talmid Chacham are not Talmid Chachamim. To teach Torah is not a Yerusha. However, Malchus is something that gets passed down from generation to generation. The bracha of the Gra to Reb Chaim Volozhiner was he should be Zoiche, that the Doirois should continue in Torah, not the inherent Torah in and of itself, but the malchus of Torah, of establishing a makom Torah, which requires the maila of malchus, that is the bracha that the Vilna Goyen gave over to Rav Chaim Lajner. Now, the Chavetzos HaSharon points out from the Gemara in Harias, Daf Yud Daled, that a Rosh Hashiva has two components to it. There's a component of Torah, and there's a component of Malchus. For example, the Gemara on the end of Hayriyoy says, Malach Rabba, Esen Matarti Shnin. Rabba ruled as Rosh Hashiva 22 years, and then Malach Rabbi Yosef. Rav Shrira Goyin in his letter, that he says, Rosh Yeshiva is a Lashon of Malchus. Even in times of the Amoraim, there was such a concept, Surah, Neharda. But in the times of the Rishonim, the concept of yeshiva was batal. They learned from a Rebbe, and that is what the Gra benched Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that he should be zoichet to the Malchus of Torah. But what we're learning is Yaakov Avinu had a din of a melech. He had the status of a melech. Yehuda was, so to speak, second in command. Let's take a look at a very interesting question of the Taz. In Parshas Vayigash, and this shir is sort of, in a way, dealing with a number of issues at the end of Sefer Bereishis, and Bezus Hashem will segue us into Sefer Shemais. The Taz has the following question.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
You mentioned that Yehuda was second in command. So Yosef was also second in command.
Right. So when Yehuda was talking to Yosef in the conversation beginning about Yigash, so Yehuda tells Yosef, "Who do you think you are? You're a second in command. You're a king. My father's also a king. You're second in command. I'm also second in command." But possibly, when Yaakov sends Yehuda to establish the yeshiva, maybe as Ramban said in Vayechi, Yaakov was mamlech Yehuda. So we usually understand that means he was mamlechim in Vayechi, possibly in the establishment of the yeshiva, maybe he gave it over to him completely. But look now in the Taz, in Archaim Simen Samach Vav, he says, the Rush says, when Yaakov, we know that when Yaakov Avinu encounters Yosef for the first time, what was Yaakov Avinu doing? He was saying Kriya Shema. Did Yaakov interrupt for Kriya Shema? No. Why not? We know you're allowed to be mafsik when you say Kriya Shema mibnei hakavod. And certainly Yaakov Avinu owed kavod to Yosef because Yosef was a king. And we find in Vayechi that Yaakov certainly lent kavod to Yosef. As we know, when Yosef came in, Yaakov bowed down to Yosef in Parshas Vayechi. And Rashi even says, Mikan shecholkin kavod l'malchus. This is the source that we grant kavod to the king. So if Yaakov treated Yosef as royalty, then why, when Yaakov sees Yosef as he's saying Shema, he should have interrupted in the middle of the Shema? He should have interrupted. Why didn't Yaakov interrupt to give his son kavod? Like Rashi says in Chumash, Matzino makamacha shecholka b'shvel ha-malchus, k'dechsid v'yischazek Yisroel, pirish Rashi, mikan shecholkin kavod ha-malchus, v'imkein, lama lo hivsik b'shma b'shvilai. So the Taz says, well, maybe he was in the middle of the first pasuk, and in the first pasuk, you cannot be mafsik even mibnei ha-kavod. So I'm not sure how satisfying that is, because so let Yaakov interrupt after the first pasuk. But that's the answer of the Taz. Comes the Sefer Livyas Chen v'Arya Karois in Parshas Vayechi, and he quotes the question of the Taz, and he says the Taz asks, that we know be'emtza ha-parek, you're allowed to ask b'shalom, someone who you're afraid of, like a king. Why didn't Yaakov interrupt him? They coven malchus. We know that Yaakov gave Yosef honor. So says Liv Yaschen, I'll tell you why. Because we say in Shulchan Aruch, it's in Reish Mem Daled, in Kibbutz Zakeh v'Talmud Chacham, that what if both people are Zakenim or Tamidei Chachamim, then one does not have to honor the other. So even though Yaakov owed Yosef kavod because Yosef was a king, but Yosef owed Yaakov honor because Yaakov was a king. They were both kings. So this end, the Taz's kasha was, why didn't Yaakov interrupt Shema to honor Yosef? Yosef's a melech. Says the Levi Aschin, don't you know the Medrash? Yaakov's also a melech. And when the two people have equal footing in kavod, then one does not have to honor the other. Middle of Shema. Im echad tzach lam yomim ken le'inyin kavod machas kefi adinim shneim sham shneim. Shneim melachim, if they're both kings, ein echad tzach linag b'chaver kavod machas. Va'amar b'medrash rabba b'parsha zu'al apostle ki kamaycha kaparash or Yaakov melech beretz Kanaan v'imkein lo Yaakov tzach la'afsu b'grishm v'kavod malchus ol Yosef sh'arei gam hu melech v'im melech tzach l'kavod malchus v'melech haveroi. Aye, now watch this. Then why did Yaakov honor Yosef by bowing down on the bed to Yosef? Because Yosef was a king, but Yaakov's also a king. This is not a good answer. If you look in Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov bows down to Yosef because Yosef's a king. That means Yaakov wasn't a king. So if Yaakov wasn't a king, he should have stopped in the middle of Kriya Shema. And the answer is, V'had d'chalak Yaakov kaven malchus loy be'ischol yoy. You know why? Because that's when Yaakov was dying. And when a person is dying, there's a principle. V'ein shiltoin b'yoyim hamaves. There is no dominion on the day of death. On the day of death, one cannot be a king. V'had d'chalak Yaakov kaven malchus loy be'ischol yoy, k'may shivarash te'hanal, yeshon lefisha b'shas moysoy, yoshev lo haya Yaakov nichtar b'chavod malchus. Because this was at the time of Yaakov's patira, so at that time Yaakov Avinu was not crowned with the kavod malchus. K'mashu kasev b'medrash rabba v'yichi al ha-pasuk v'yikruvu yimei David lamus. The Medrash Rabbah says in Vayechi, and the days of David were approaching to dying. HaMelech David lo yinemer. You know, it always says, Melech David, David HaMelech, Melech David, David HaMelech. All of a sudden, Vayikrvu Yimei David. It's the first time it just says David. Without Melech. Why Vayikrvu Yimei David? Because She'ein Shultoin B'yayim HaMavis. There's no power, dominion, royalty on the day of death. Therefore, Yaakov, on the day of death, wasn't a king. Yosef was a king. So Yaakov had to accord honor to Yosef. So, but the question is, Rabbi Isai, if now when Yaakov is meeting Yosef, Yaakov is a king, so he doesn't have to honor Yosef, then why does Yosef have to honor Yaakov if they're both a king? So in the footnotes on the Sefer Minchas Chayim, he says, you know why Yosef interrupted? Even though he's also a king, because Yosef's the king, but Yaakov's his father. So they're not equal. They're both kings. Yaakov's his father. So Yaakov doesn't have to show honor to Yosef. Yosef has to show honor to his father. So this is a very beautiful answer to the Taz's kasha. The Taz wanted to know, why didn't Yaakov interrupt the middle of Shema? You're allowed to interrupt Mimnei HaKavod, Mimnei HaYira. The answer is, Yaakov's also a king. By the way, in the Sefer Samach Libi of Reb Shimon Chirai, in the section called, in the Sefer Shalmei Simcha Samach Libi, he says maybe that is why Yaakov was afraid to come down to Canaan. Why? Because we know, Ein Malchus Noigas B'chaverta Afilu Kimloi Nima, that one royalty cannot infringe on the other even a hair's breadth. We know that two kings cannot rule simultaneously. Ein shnei malachim mishtamshim bekesar echad. And Yaakov was afraid that if he would go down to Mitzrayim and Yosef's royalty would be recognized and realized, then his would be unrealized and he would die. Or Yosef would die. And therefore Yosef says, Rida Eli, that come down to me, that I will go down in my madrega because I'm only second in command and you will be the king. Well, says the Sefer Shama Simcha Samach Libi, he says it could be, and he quotes the Liv Yaschein, that is why Yosef says, V'yashavta b'yaretz Goshen, which is a different land. And we're not mishtamish b'keser achad. You'll live in your section, I'll live in my section, and we'll both be melachim. Now, so there's this idea that Yaakov Avinu was a melech. That might be why he was afraid to go down to Egypt. That might be why he was allowed to, why he did not interrupt the middle of his Kriya Shema. This would explain something else which is very interesting to me. By the way, and this would also explain how Yaakov was able to be Mamlech Yehuda. How did Yaakov have a right to be Mamlech Yehuda? Yaakov owned Malchus, that he could give it over to Yehuda, and says, yes, Yaakov was the king, and he gave it over to who he saw fit to continue. Vayechi Yaakov b'Eretz Mitzrayim Sheva Esrei Shana. Yaakov lived in Egypt 17 years. Rashi says that this parsha, last week's parsha, is a parsha Susuma. Because when Yaakov Avinu died, the eyes and the heart of the Jewish people were sealed up because of the tzara of the Shibud, that they began to be meshabed us. Another pshat is Yaakov wanted to reveal the Kates, and it was hidden from him. Rav Shmuel Yaakov Bornstein in the Zois Yaakov is bothered by Akasha. When Yaakov died, the end was sealed up from the tzara of the Shibud. What does it have to do with the death of Yaakov? It was because of the Shibud. It's just that the Shibud didn't start before. In other words, what sealed up the hearts and the eyes of Klal Yisrael? The Shibud. Now, the Shibud didn't start until Yaakov died, but it wasn't the death of Yaakov that sealed up their heart. In fact, there's no mention of Shibud in Parshas Vayechi at all. In fact, the Mefarshim asked that as long as one of the Shvatim were alive, Klal Yisrael were not Meshubud. Well, the Shmuel Yaakov Bornstein says, you know, there are two institutions in Klal Yisrael of leadership. There's the Sanhedrin, and there's the Malchus. The Sanhedrin are the eyes of the people, and the Melech is the heart of the people. Layasur Shevim Yehuda Mechoykek Mibein Raglav. Sanhedrin are called the eyes, the Enei Ho'eda, Enei HaKol. The Chachmei Yisrael, the Enei Klal Yisrael. We know in Bava Basra, when Bava Ben Buta, when Hurdas killed all the Chachamim, so he was advised, you extinguish the eyes of the world. Malchus, on the other hand, to carry the burden of the Jewish people and their travails is the heart of Klal Yisrael. Like the Rambam says, Shehamelech libayhu lev kol kahal Yisrael. The heart of the king is the heart of all of Israel. Yaakov Avinu was on the Madrega of the Sanhedrin, the eyes of the people to know how we act. He was also the Melech, the heart of the people. When Yaakov was with them, he was able to guide them, and he was their eyes. He was able to carry their burden. He was the Melech, and he was their heart. When Yaakov Avinu died, the eyes of Israel, in other words, the Rosh Sanhedrin, Yaakov, the heart of Israel, the Melech, Yaakov Avinu died. Mav Rabbi say, who else was a king? Avram Avinu was a king, as we said, that Emek HaMelech, all the peoples of the world gathered together, and they appointed Avraham a king. I want to offer an interesting chiddush. I want to point out something. I don't think we find anywhere that Yitzchak was a king. Avraham we find explicitly. Emek HaMelech, they appointed him as a melech. Yaakov Avinu, he was the king of Canaan. Do we find that Yitzchak was a king? I do not believe so. So you say, you know, Yitzchak was blind. He was confined to his tent. But there may be a deeper reason. By the way, who else was a melech? Adam HaRishon was a melech. The Medrash Yalkut Shmoni says, that God passed to Adam HaRishon all the generations. And Adam saw a man by the name of David, whose life was established for 3 hours. So Adam said to God, This man has no takana? So God said, what do you mean? That's what I decided. So Adam said, how long do I live? So God said, 1,000 years. So Adam said, are there gifts in heaven? Is there Zelle, PayPal in heaven? God says, yes. Adam says, 70 years of my life, I want to give to this person. Adam brought a shtar, and he wrote a shtar matana, and God, Matatron, and Adam HaRishon signed on it. Amar Adam, Ribbono Shalom, Yaf Yois, Zu Malchus Uzmirois, Halalu Nesunos Labimatana Ayin Shana. I'm giving David Malchus, and I'm giving David Zmirais. The Magen Avram points out in his commentary to the Medrash that that's why only David was authorized to sing Shirat Hashem. So to me it's very interesting that it was not sufficient for Adam to give 70 years to David. He had to give him Malchus, because if David was a Melech, he had to get it from somewhere. He got it from Adam HaRishon. Now, the Zohar in Parshas Vayishlach has a completely different account of where David got his 70 years from. The Zohar says, where did he get it from? He got it from Avraham, Yaakov, and Yosef. Avraham lived 175 years. He should have lived 180 years, like Yitzchak. He gave 5 years to David. Yaakov also. He lived 147. He should have lived 175 like Avraham. He gave 28 years. So we have 5 from Avraham, 28 from Yaakov. That's 33. And then Yosef. Yosef lived 110 years. He should have lived 147 like Yaakov, and he gave 37 years. What about Yitzchak? Yitzchak didn't give anything, and the Zohar says a Kabbalistic explanation. Yitzchak came from the side of darkness. David came from the side of darkness, and someone who is in darkness doesn't have any light, and he doesn't have life. And Yitzchak could not give years. And it comes out Yosef was the most magnanimous, and that's why he's a tzaddik. He gave 37 years. Is it possible, based on the Yalkut Shemayni, that Adam had to give... Now, by the way, all the Achroinim ask, if Adam gave 70 years, then why did Avram Yaakov and Yosef have to give 70 years? So the Shla HaKadosh says that Adam, after... that Adam HaRishon, after the sin of the Yetz Hadas, his years were sullied. So now David had to get 70 good years from the Avos. Or some say the Adam HaRishon retracted after he offered the Matana. So David had to go get the years of Avram, Yaakov, and Yosef. And some say that since David did not sleep at night, so in effect he lived 140 years, he had to get daytime years from Adam and nighttime years from the Avos. Okay, but I was perhaps thinking maybe another additional reason why Yitzchak Avinu did not offer years to David, and that is not because he didn't want to, But it's not enough for David to have years. He needs royalty. He needs malchus. And Avraham was a melech. And Yaakov was a melech. And Yosef was a melech. And therefore they could give malchus to David as opposed to Yitzchak, who was not a melech. And let's try to offer an explanation why in fact Yitzchak was not a melech. And this, I think, could be found in the Zohar on Parshas Noach that we spoke out in our Shir on Parshas Chayei Sarah. And that is, we find Noach two times. Every tzaddik has two ruchin, one for this world and one for the next world. Moshe, Moshe, Yaakov, Yaakov, Avram, Avram, Shmuel, Shmuel, but not Yitzchak. Why? Because when Yitzchak was offered on the Mizbeach, his soul left, his soul of this world left, and when Avraham said, Baruch Mechaye Amesim, he got the soul of the next world. And in that case, Yitzchak was already like in the next world, he was already Mace. That's why his name is Yitzchak, Ketz Chai, he lives in the end. He's alive even when he's in the next world. That's why the only one who God says Elokei Yitzchak while they're alive is Yitzchak. God doesn't say Elokei Avraham or Elokei Yaakov. Says the Zohar, because begin this Chashev Kemes, Yitzchak is considered like he's dead. Oh, if Yitzchak's considered like he's dead, he can't be a melech. We said in the beginning of the Shir. That's why it always says David HaMelech, David HaMelech, David HaMelech, but it says Vayikrvu Yimei David Lamos. Because ein shiltoin b'yom ha'maves. The same way Rabbi Yisai, the Livyas Chin, said that at the end of Yaakov's life, he had to honor Yosef because Yosef was a king. What? But Yaakov was also a king, not on the day of his death. Yaakov wasn't a king on the day of his death, even though Yaakov did not have to interrupt his Shema because he was a king, but he did have to honor Yosef on his last day because on the day of death, you're not a melech. By the same token, Yitzchak was always considered like a mess, and therefore he did not have the status of a melech. So you want to know why am I giving a shir on Parshas Vayechi on Parshas Shemois? The answer is because I couldn't let this pass. That's the real answer. But the idea that one is not a melech on the day that they die is actually learned out from this week's Parsha, number 21. It says, Vayamos melech Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt died, and the Medrash says he didn't die. He was a Mitzayra, and he would slaughter Jewish babies to bathe in their blood, and a Mitzayra is considered like they're dead. And the Gra asked, how does the Medrash know he didn't really die? Maybe it's when it says he died, maybe it means he died. Why is the Medrash draying that it means that, no, he didn't die, he became a Mitzayra? You know why? Because it says, Melech Mitzrayim, king of Egypt. And the Medrash Kohelet says, close to 52 times it says, Melech David, David HaMelech. But when David was about to die, it says, Vayikrevu Yimei David Lamos. Why does it say the days of David were approaching to die? What do you mean the days of David? Just say, Melech David. No, Ein Shiltoin B'yom HaMaves. When somebody is close to dying, they're not a melech. There's no malchus on the day of death. And in this pasuk, it says, Vayamos melech Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt died. Therefore, Chazal, no, he didn't really die. He became a Mitzrayra. Because if he was really dying, it wouldn't call him a melech. By the way, it's the same thing how Chazal derived by King Uzziah. It says, Bishnas mavet mois. HaMelech Uzziah, in the year of the death of King Uzziah, what do you mean the year of the death of King Uzziah? If he died, he's not a Melech. So from there, Chazal derive that Uzziah did not die, but instead he became a Mitzayra. Coming back to the beginning of the Shir, we said the Kash of the Divrei Chaim. Many ask, how did Yaakov Avinu have the right to take away the Bechor from Reuven, but it's a lav in the Torah of Lo Yuchal Levaker. Comes the Heilige Kloisenberger Rebbe, and he says, he quotes the question of Zayda the Debrei Chaim, how did Yaakov Avinu have the capacity to to give the Bechaira to Yosef, but part of the Bechaira is Davar Shaloi Bala Olam. So actually that's not his kasha. His kasha is, you can't take away the Bechaira, it's a lav in the Torah. But the way the Kloisenberger Rebbe asked the kasha is, this is something that's Loi Bala Olam. The Chelek HaBechar had not come into the world yet. And the Bnei Yosef, who would go into Eretz Yisrael, were not Bala Olam. And the Kloisenberger Rebbe says, Lulei, if not for the holy words of Maizeda, I would have answered as follows. That the Poskim say the Tzibur has an extended capacity, that the Tzibur is able to be makna davar shalai bala olam. So you could say, says the Kloisenberger Rebbe, the same thing by a melech. He could be Poritz Geder and nobody protests. He has a din of a Tzibur and his matana is a matana even b'davar shalai bala olam. And he says Yaakov Avinu was a melech. Like the Medrash says, Yehuda said to Yosef, my father is king in Canaan and your master is king. So therefore, since Yaakov Avinu had the status of a melech, he had extra legal powers. He was able to supersede the law and be makne even davar shaloi bala olam. The way we have the Divrei Chaim's kashas, how is he allowed to be maver b'chayra? Maybe this would also be an answer. In other words, when it comes to monetary law, the king could be pirates geder ve'ein moichin biyadai. Okay, Marv Rabbeisai, these are a few thoughts on Parshas Vayigash, Parshas Vayichi, based on the idea that we learn out from this Parsha, Ein Shulten B'yayim HaMavis, as the Pasuk says, Vayomos Melech Mitzrayim, and Bezos Hashem on Wednesday, we're going to investigate the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Melech, and until then, wishing everybody a great day. Bezos Hashem, we're working on a Sefer on Bereishis. If anybody wants to participate, please let us know. And wishing everyone a great day, bracha v'hatzlacha, and we'll see you, Bez Hashem, tonight, 5:30, Igeres Hagra, 9:15, Daf HaShavua, Masech Yevamos. Wishing everyone a great day. Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class, brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.